Get ready for a journey into the heart of Bridgeport politics with In Absentia, a new podcast from Connecticut Public's investigative team, The Accountability Project. Learn about the city's past and present political dysfunction and the systems that enable it. Tune in wherever you get your podcasts.
Funding provided by Francisco L. Borges and the Melville Charitable Trust.
Welcome to Seasoned. I'm Chef Plum. We're coming to you live from our studio in Hartford, where there's a bit of a speakeasy vibe going on as I sit here at this table, and there's so many wonderful, wonderful cocktail things happening. I cannot absolutely wait. I'm here with three of the best bartenders in the state. Tim Cabral is a restaurateur and co-owner and bartender at Ordinary in New Haven and Bar Pina in Hartford. His new restaurant, Joya, opens this summer in Worcester Square. He's also a founder of New Haven Cocktail Week. Tim, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I'm also here with the one and only Jade Ayala. She is the bar manager and beverage director at both Oyster Club and the Port of Call in Mystic, Connecticut. Jade, so excited to hang out with you.
Thank you. I'm thrilled.
And the legendary Justin Morales is here. He's the founder of Up and Down Rock and Bourbon and the general manager and hospitality instructor at Fire by Forge in Hartford. Justin, we're excited that you're here, man.
I'm excited to be here.
You're a busy guy. We're glad you're here.
I'm busy, yeah.
Listen, everybody, this is going to be a really fun show today. We're going to be talking cocktails for a whole hour. I cannot wait to see these guys are going to make us cocktails. We're going to talk cocktails, we'll take calls from you. Maybe you have a cocktail or a mocktail question for our experts. We'd love to hear about your favorite bars in the state, or maybe you're a regular at one of their spots. Call in and tell us what you love about your neighborhood watering hole. The number is 888-720-9677. Again, that number is 888-720-WNPR to join us on air. Before we start, not everybody can or wants to drink alcohol, so there'll be some talking about delicious things to drink, both spirited and zero proof. So there's something for everybody this hour. So pull up your bar stool and hang out with us. We're going to have a great time. All right, you guys, listen. We're going to make cocktails, and as much as I want to have cocktails all at once, I think we should probably go one at a time. Is that safe?
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I think the only problem with that is I'm following Tim.
Oh, okay. but put the old guy first.
Is that what it is?
They're afraid I'm
going
to fall.
Are they going by age? That makes sense.
Okay. Wait, I'm first then. What would we say? Oh, yeah. I don't even know. No, Tim, listen, before I get you to tell us about your drink of the summer, what are the basics of a really good cocktail in your opinion?
Balance. Mm. Balance and zero pretension.
So balance, like as a chef, I think of balance. I think of like
same thing,
acidity and texture and all. Same thing.
Same thing from start to finish. When you look at it, to smelling it, to tasting it, to the finish on it, everything from start to finish has to have a purpose. Same thing you would do in the kitchen.
Okay.
We're using ingredients the same way you would look at them. We're pairing things that at first glance might not work together, but how they come together is my favorite thing when the surprises happen. So same thing with food, with wine, with pairings, cocktails has that same presence and same place.
So Ordinary has a very long history in New Haven. It was part of a hotel back in the day. But you and your partners are celebrating the 10th anniversary of Ordinary's revival as a cocktail destination. Like, let's celebrate. Shout out to you. That's amazing. That's awesome. Yeah.
Thank you. My hair was curlier and less gray 10 years ago. People were posting a lot of pictures from when we first opened. And I sometimes forget how much I've aged in that 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
COVID years probably boosted it forward for sure. We just had our 10-year anniversary. We threw a fun party. It was great. I got to get behind a well for about 4 hours and haven't done that in a while, and I had so much fun. We had bartenders from around the country kind of pop in and out. And
wait, there's some lingo there we got to define. Get behind the well.
Sorry. I got to make drinks again behind the bar.
There we go.
And I don't always do that now because, to be honest, I don't know them all well enough to get behind the bar, and there's no way I'm getting behind a bar if I don't know how to make a cocktail. So it was super fun for me. We actually did the first menu that we opened with 10 years ago. We launched that menu again, and we had four different friends show up with crates of records and spin vinyl. We had bartenders from around the country kind of like get behind the well with us in and out throughout the night. It was super fun. It was exactly what I wanted. I'm the type of person that never thinks anybody's going to show up to anything. So like the week prior, I'm like, no one's coming. Like it's fine. We're going to be fine. And then like 15 minutes before we opened, there was already people there, and it was such a good feeling, and got to see people that I haven't seen in a long time. Some people traveled good distances to get there, and it was
I feel like I missed the party. Exciting. It sounds amazing.
You did, and I was going to bring that up, and I was offended that you didn't show up, but you know, we'll get through it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about drinks of summer now, because that's one of the funnest things about the summertime to me is, you know, how the cocktails change with the seasons, especially how, you know, cocktails are a thing. It's not so much just, oh, let's have a bourbon and Coke anymore. It's like you're actually making something fun. Talk us through what you want to make and tell us what you're making.
So it's a little bit of a tricky time to be talking about summer cocktails because we're still in May and the flavors aren't really transitioning yet, just like the same one would be in a kitchen. So we're in the tail end of our current menu. This menu was super fun. It was a menu based on the elements. And this is the first time that we tried this concept where we partnered a junior member of our team with a senior member of our team. Okay. They all worked on one of the elements, so being fire, air, What are the four elements?
Fire, air, earth, water,
and yes. My God, that was embarrassing. But we each got to partner. They did a junior and a senior employee. They partnered together on a drink. And then I got to work with them to finalize all the drinks. And it was super fun for me because being in the process of construction and everything else in a new place, I got to actually like do what I love and like play and taste and help finalize what the menu became. And it was super exciting. So I brought the earth element with me today. So this menu is going to run until June. Throughout June, and then July, we're going to launch a new concept for July through November.
This sounds amazing. I can't wait to see what the cocktail is. And if you have a question about cocktails, I want to talk a little cocktails. Sure. This is why Tim gets us ready. The number to call is 888-720-9677. That's 888-720-WNPR to join us here on the air. All right, talk us through this cocktail, Tim.
So being that we were going after the elements, being that we were going after Earth with this one, I wanted it to have qualities that would kind of take you to a place to get there. Like
okay.
So we took roasted carrots, then we steeped Ryu Mezcal in the roasted carrots. From there, we wanted to have transitions.
Okay, whoa, wait a minute. There were some words there. Let's get in there. You say Ryu Mezcal?
So Ryu is the brand, the producer of the Mezcal.
Okay.
It's super approachable, has a good mouthfeel to it, a nice smoky finish on it. And it's honestly, it's priced in a point where we can make great cocktails with it and we don't have to like go crazy with what we charge for it.
I think mezcal, smoky tequila, essentially, right?
That's such a way that I hate to say it.
Is it?
Yeah, because it's such a process that's absolutely amazing and it's one of my favorite categories that what goes into mezcal is the reason that, I mean, there's all different flavors. You taste terroir with agave and more than you probably would with any other spirit.
Yeah.
It's the least amount of manipulation from plant to bottle.
Interesting.
And I absolutely love everything about the category, so... Yes, but not all mezcals are smoky.
Okay.
Some of them are very floral. Some of them will taste like rose petals. Some of them will have like green pepper notes to it. Some of like they vary depending on where they're from. If it's a highland, a lowland, or whatever it would be.
This is exciting. You're upping my mezcal knowledge. I'm not very good with mezcal.
You
so
should
this is
dive
exciting.
Into the category because it's absolutely wonderful. Just to sip on by itself, and it lends so much to a cocktail.
Okay. So we've got the mezcal here.
So yeah, we take carrots, we roast them, and then we steep them in mezcal for about 3 days. Then we pull them out. We pull out the carrots, strain it through a fine strainer, coffee filter, just to kind of take the body out of it, but it still allows a nice oily quality to it. This is then mixed with a coconut milk, a local honey called Sword into Plowshare Honey. He's just a few blocks away from the bar. We've been using him from the opening. Tempest Fugit Noyo, which has a nice nuttiness to it. St. George Bruto, and then just a touch of citrus.
Wow, I love that you steep the carrots in here. That's kind of cool. I mean,
should I be making it while I'm talking?
Yeah, yeah. You definitely should. We're all just sitting here waiting for you. We're learning so much, but how about a cocktail, you know?
I'm sorry to keep you waiting.
No, I love it. So, in the local honey in this? This is amazing.
Yeah, Sword into Plowshare. The guy is he's a super interesting guy. The first day I used to deal with him when I was at Casey's prior to opening Ordinary. And I called him, and he hung up on me. I was like, he thought I was somebody from Yale wanting to do a story, and he's so crotchety that he doesn't have a cell phone. He still has an old school answering machine. He literally hung up on me, and I was like, all right, well, maybe he's just busy, and he'll call me back. And I finally got a hold of him, and he was like, what do you want? I'm like, I want your honey. Stop being such a... And now, like, we have a much better relationship, but his honey's fantastic. Throughout the year, we'll get different varietals from him. He actually gives me bee pollen, which is fantastic because I use it for my allergies.
Okay. While you finish that up, we've got James in Unionville has got a question for us here. So if I can get James up to talk to us really quick.
Hi, James.
James, welcome to Seasoned.
Hi.
What do you got for the show today, my friend?
So I, fool that I am, have committed to making cocktails for my entire extended family in a couple of weeks at a family gathering.
Ah, good idea.
In order to take some of the load off, I've decided to pre-batch some of my cocktails. And since this is the first time I'm doing that, I was wondering if you guys had any pointers. How far ahead do I make these? Do I have to do anything special if I'm making a cocktail that's got egg whites in it? That sort of thing.
I would not batch a cocktail with egg whites.
Okay.
That would be my first suggestion to you.
Jade, what do you think? Oh, yeah, Justin, what do you think?
I just think the first one needs, the first cocktail needs to be for you, that's for sure.
There we go.
And that will solve some of your problems.
Jade, what do you think?
I agree. I mean, there's a lot of work going into egg whites and getting them just right. And if you're doing something in a large format, it's a lot of eggs.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily a streamlined way when, if you're batching, you're trying to make it as easy as possible. So there's other ways that you can get texture if you're looking for texture without using egg whites.
What kind of cocktail were you thinking about making?
I was going to do some pretty simple ones. I was going to pre-batch some daiquiris. I was going to pre-batch some margaritas. And then I was thinking maybe like a revolver or something because my dad and my uncles are all big bourbon people.
Yeah, First of all, I want to come to this party.
Yeah, get us directions. But I don't think any of those really require egg whites anyway. So I think you're good there. So that should eliminate that. I think the biggest key is fresh juice. So I wouldn't do it too far in advance. You want to keep the lime juice really fresh on those. So I would do it maybe wake up early, do a shot of tequila for you, and then that's what I would do.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so I think also if you're going to batch them, stay away from the egg whites. That's kind of the takeaway here, I think.
For
all right,
sure.
James, good luck with it. We'll be over there. We'll be over there soon. Okay.
All right.
batch cocktails is the way to go if you're having a big party. I think for sure.
Yeah, I also feel like the important part of batching cocktails is actually knowing your ratios as well.
Sure. Yeah.
So the easy way to do it for us is when you're taking your spirit. Say it's a margarita, and you know it's we got a cocktail in front of us.
Yes, we do.
All right.
Can we have a quick cheers?
Yes,
yeah,
we do. Here,
absolutely.
Cheers. Thank you guys all for being here. We appreciate
you.
It.
Thank you.
Salud.
Let's get a taste in here and see what we think. And this cocktail, too, we got beautiful ice cubes in here. It's kind of got almost like a creamsicle like color going on with it.
Yeah, but it's going to change. The mouthfeel has a creamy note to it, but it definitely doesn't have like that.
And you've got some fresh thyme in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh thyme finished with a Laphroaig 10 mist over the top with a white cardamom, Maldon sea salt.
Okay.
That finish just to kind of give it a longer finish.
Jade, nose just smelling this just went to heaven. Like every note, like you're getting everything. You're getting the thyme first. You're getting that smoke. You're getting the earthiness of the root vegetable, the carrot. It's awesome.
There's a lot going on with this right now. Jade, what do you think?
It's fabulous. I love how when it starts, you kind of get that residual sugar from the carrots.
Yeah.
And then it dries out at the end with a little bit of that heat from the mezcal.
Yeah.
And then the citrus kind of just binds it and gives a little bit of brightness well, which is really nice.
Yeah. Justin, what are you getting from it?
The earth element that you described, you hit it perfect. But I love root vegetables and cocktails. And you're getting that brightness of the carrot. The thyme is just right there in your nose. It's just awesome. And then that smoke with the scotch and the mezcal is a perfect blend.
The white cardamom, too, it was a fun one to use. One of the best things about this cocktail for me was Chimbo, who works with us, is the first time he's ever put any thought into a cocktail. He's been bar backing with us for a while. He's just transitioned into being on the floor, and he starts his first service shifts next week. So this was the first time that he ever thought about making a cocktail. So when he presented it to me, my first inclination was going mushroom fungi, like having this super funky, pungent drink. And when he presented it to me on paper, I was worried in the direction it was going to go. And when we started to work on it, I was so excited. And I was so excited to watch him. It was super fun to do. It was good to see.
Oh, the cardamom brightens it up for sure.
I'm just having root vegetables in my drink. Are you kidding me? This is awesome. I'm so way in. This is a fantastic drink. Oh, my gosh. What an amazing drink. We got to take a quick break, friends. When we get back here, I want to talk about what's your go-to warm weather drink. And don't be embarrassed if you love a classic gin and tonic. And there's nothing wrong with a classic at all. We want to know what a summer drink means to you. So talk to us. Give us a call. 888-720-9677. 888-720-WNPR. We'll be right back.
Support for this podcast comes from Hartford HealthCare.
Elevating Health is funded by Hartford HealthCare. Hartford HealthCare recently celebrated the opening of the Ridge Recovery Center in Windham. Christy Scott, Vice President of Clinical Operations, describes this new state-of-the-art destination for healing.
individuals will come if they're suffering from substance use disorder and get individualized treatment. They can stay up to 3 to 4 weeks and receive family therapy, individual therapy, group therapy, and lots of other holistic care like yoga, trail walking, acupuncture. So it's going to be a great place for people to come and heal.
For those seeking recovery, finding it close to home can sometimes be challenging.
Many individuals travel to Florida and other states that have more treatment centers. So we're hoping by doubling our capacity at Hartford Healthcare, the individuals can stay in their home state with their family and support systems close by.
To learn more, go to ctpublic.org/elevatinghealth.
Welcome back to Season, everyone. I'm Chef Plum. Our guests this hour are cocktail whisperers, and they are 100% at the top of their mixology prowess. So this is your chance to give us a call and tell us what you think or ask questions and learn more about cocktails in your life, because everybody should have more great, delicious cocktails in their life. Give us a call here live on the show. We'd love to talk to you. Our number is 888-720-9677. Or 888-720-WNPR. Sorry, guys, I got confused there for a little bit. I apologize. Again, we are joined this hour by our new friends, Tim Cabral. He is the restaurateur and co-owner and bartender at Ordinary in New Haven and Bar Pina in Hartford, whose new restaurant, Joya, opens this summer in Worcester Square. Jade Ayala is the bar manager and beverage director at Oyster Club and Port of Call in Mystic. And Justin Morales is the founder of Up and Down Rock and Bourbon and the general manager and hospitality instructor at Fire by Forge in Hartford. And how lucky am I to be sitting at a table with three of the absolute best in the state, you guys. I tell you what, the cocktail we just had from Tim was absolutely incredible. I can't believe this has root vegetables in it. I'm blown away by it. But Justin, I'm excited to talk to you a little bit because you've got some crazy stuff going on in your life. You're an amazing bartender. You're an amazing cocktail creator. But not only that, you've actually made your own bourbon.
Well, so yes, my life is crazy in general, but I did make my own rockin' bourbon.
Okay.
So it's a specific liqueur. It's a category. So there was such a thing called rockin' rye that was made in the 1800s, kind of like a pseudo cough medicine or snake oil. Like it was, they put it on the shelves and told people it could cure everything. I just think it cured a little bit of depression, you know, for husbands that were stuck at home or something. I don't know, but it wasn't real medicine. So it doesn't cure anything. So what we did was when COVID hit, we were closed down as everybody was, you know, our bar, we couldn't sell anything. So I was barrel aging a cocktail that I've been doing for years. And I decided to see if I could sell it in bottles to try to keep alive. It took 2 weeks to make, so I sold it for $75 a bottle, thinking I'd sell one or two a week, maybe. And I was on a wait list within 2 weeks. People were just calling, I want more, I want more. So I said, maybe I can do this on a larger scale. And so what we did, instead of a rock and rye, we added bourbon, because bourbon is essentially America. Like, you know, it's our stuff. It's for the United States. So I'm a big fan of all the nuances of bourbon as well. So it really added to the flavor. So it's a rock and bourbon, which is a bourbon liqueur. And it's 80 proof. We make it in East Hartford, Connecticut. It's got real figs, honey. We do Ango, New England birch, and orange zest.
We're going to taste this later on here, I think, right? I'm excited.
Yeah, I brought you like all different kind of bottles. We got 100 proof.
Boy, this is scary talk now.
Yeah,
I'm excited to give it a taste.
Yeah, I don't know how much you want to jump into like doing shots of that, but it could be for later.
Jade, I got to ask you, Port of Call, I mean, what's it like to pair cocktails with dishes from a James Beard Award-winning chef? Just for those of you who don't know, Renee Tupont's, I mean, James Beard Award-winning, award-nominated.
Well, I mean, we hope we take nominated. The hardware home, but right now,
I say winning because, of course, I don't even think about that part. Of course, it's winning.
Totally. We manifest that. Put that out into the universe.
That's it.
We're
making it happen.
Just being nominated is a win.
Oh, unbelievable.
It's insane. Like, what it takes incredibly is, proud. Yeah. I mean, the whole group is.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah. Just to expand on that, Port of Call is sort of the reverse concept of what we typically have in restaurant and like cocktail programs. So Oyster Club, or more of a traditional style, where the bar typically supports the kitchen. Kitchen's usually where people are coming for. And with that, the Port of Call was the reverse.
Right.
So the kitchen was supporting the bar. Renee is nominated for Port of Call.
Unbelievable.
So, to kind of give you an idea with pairing that is we had to sit down, do some thinking, and I had to be collaborative with a chef that I've never have done before in the past. I kind of just was doing my own thing behind the bar and creating drinks at Oyster Club. So it was a new experience for both of us, and kind of the same way you do wine.
Mm-hmm.
You have like your conventional way, or you know, the unconventional way of doing it. So pairing with things that are more conventional would be things that are sweet with sweet, and the less conventional would be if something is sweet on the dish, then you pair it with something that has high acidity.
Right.
So it was fun kind of sitting and developing that first menu together and creatively, and seeing how their mind works when developing a menu, because I'm sure that was a first to sit in and create something with someone else from a different world.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's fantastic.
What's this cocktail we're having today? Because you've got some interesting things in front of you there. What are we making?
For me, I brought something called socks and sandals.
What?
Yes.
Always
so,
wanted to taste that.
Totally. They're fresh, freshly washed socks.
Go, that's good.
Forget it.
The idea behind this, and to your point too as well, Tim, is like we're on the tail end of our cocktail menu and flipping it in the next couple weeks or so.
Okay.
But this, I think, really speaks to all seasons. So this in particular, we're using the base as aquavit, so Scandinavian distillate made with like caraway and dill. This one is Norden from Michigan, so it's a domestic aquavit with a little bit of Minaud gin. Minaud is a gin coming from Quebec City, where they forage all of their own herbs and things of that nature. So really fun little mix in there. Then we're going to do some mango.
Okay.
I thought having it being approachable to home bartenders is you're not always getting, you know, fresh things throughout the seasons, but you will find something on the shelf or something in your cabinet that you might not necessarily know how to use it or how to incorporate it in a drink, but it does have versatility and can be used, you know, in the summertime in your backyard. So we have some mango here that we adjusted with citric and malic acids. So the mango juice itself could be particularly sweet, so we kind of giving it a little more acidity. And then we made an orgeat. We make orgeat in-house, so an almond syrup, and then using an aromatic bitters, pichots
so
as well.
So orgeat, is that what it's called?
Yeah, orgeat.
And how do you make that?
So people do it a few ways. They let the almonds sit overnight with all of the other ingredients, okay, and then they blend it the next day. What we do is we take raw almonds, we're not cooked, and then we put them in a blender with sugar, salt, and water. Usually it calls for like orange blossom. We omit that in this orgeat recipe that we are doing for this cocktail specifically. But it's really fun. It gives like a really nice mouthfeel to
like
to the cocktail.
Cereal milk.
It's like delicious cereal.
Okay. Yeah. I'm excited about this now.
Yeah,
I can't
absolutely
wait. Well,
so I'm going to start building.
Yeah,
so what I'm doing now is I'm taking the pichots, our bitters. I like to start with the least expensive ingredient before making a drink, and then adding the spirit last. That
Which
allows
is really
us,
good for home bartenders.
Yeah, for sure. If you're making a mistake, you can kind of figure out where you went wrong.
okay. Yeah, it's not as expensive, I guess.
Yeah. And right now I'm pouring in the acidulated mango.
Little mango.
Uh-huh. And then the orgeat here.
Or as Tim called it, cereal milk.
Cereal milk, really delicious.
Sounds good.
Cereal milk, yeah.
Who doesn't love cereal milk? I'm excited about this. And there's the spirit.
And there's the spirit going right in. Typically, don't like to make two cocktails in one, but I only brought one shaking tin.
That's okay.
Which we will make
Need some ice?
With. See if I can properly dilute this in front
there we
of
go.
Everybody.
Excellent.
Yeah. And I don't know what I have to do to get a cold draft machine, but Tim, these ice cubes are great, and thank you for bringing them.
Oh, they are
so
sexy.
Cold draft, right now, my machine broke at Ordinary last year. It took me a year to get a Hoshizaki, and a cold draft is another year out. So there's a two-year lead time on cold drafts right now.
Well, I'm excited, as Renee.
It happens all the time.
No. We're starting to shake this up right now. And listen, if you guys want to call in and ask questions about cocktails or talk about cocktails, we're going to talk about mocktails. We're going to talk about those here in just a few minutes. Give us a call at 888-720-9677. That's 888-720-WNPR. What happened was I read her name on here on my notes. Okay, so we're pouring now. And you're straining
this,
right?
I've been called worse, yes. I'm straining the drink, double strain. So trying to get all those ice chips should the ice break, trying to get some of the impurities from the orgeat, like extra pieces of almond out. And then we serve this on the rocks.
Okay.
Here.
So we're reaching in. And does the ice make a difference here, like the type of ice or the shape of the ice or where the ice comes from? Does it make a big difference in the actual cocktail itself?
Yeah, absolutely. Like the more of a solid cube is sort of your goal. It helps you sort of control the dilution a bit more. So you're actually not over diluting your cocktail, and you can get how every flavor how it's intended to be.
All right, I'll pass this over to Tim.
Cool.
Here we go. And you got Justin over there. All right, let's talk about this here. So
cheers.
Here's to summer, friends.
Thank you.
Cheers. Wish we could hear the clanging of the glasses, but we have to have plastic in here so nothing gets broken. Let's give it a taste. Justin, talk about this a little bit for us.
Well, you know, for me, if you use aquavit in a cocktail, it's just a brave thing to do. For me specifically, because it's so unique as a flavor. But you balanced it out. You did a great job balancing everything. My favorite thing about a cocktail is it's the spirit is not the star of the show. The cocktail itself, that one flavor, that one kind of party, I guess it's a cocktail party. And this is super balanced. It's awesome. The mango gives it nice citrus. The orgeat gives it nice sweetness. Like it's mellow, mellows everything out. This is great.
The balance is completely what I was thinking. Tim, what do you think?
The mouthfeel is probably one of my favorite parts about this. From start to finish, what you get in the front, to how it transitions on the finish to what you're left with after it's gone out of your mouth. There's a oiliness to it, which is absolutely amazing, which makes you hit all the flavor senses in your mouth. The transition is probably what really like sparked me on this one to start with, but it's absolutely delicious.
Jade, where does the idea for this come from? Like when you think of this cocktail, like I've never had anything like this. This is next level right here. I mean, the mouthfeel, like Tim was saying, is incredible. How do you come up with something like this?
It's sort of just like anything you do at home if you're cooking or making something. So I started off with the spirit in mind. Sometimes I start off with a different ingredient. And so I wanted to build upon some of those notes that you get from the aquavit. There's like clementine notes and things. So that's where the mango came in. And then sort of taking that idea and making it fresh salad, if you will, right? So like putting the fruits with the nuts and the, you know, everything else, and kind of working with the idea like that there's nothing that you can't really put together, because in different elements and different things, these things already go with one another, like the dill and the fruit and the almonds and such, and then putting them together.
But so knowing how to use the malic and citric acid, sorry to cut you
no,
off.
No, it's okay.
A whole other skill set, and that's what helps make this drink pop and last all the way through. Like how you altered the mango, like the transition that takes throughout the thing.
Yeah, Tim's on point with that. That goes with the whole.
Yeah, it's really dope. Like it takes transitions, which is my favorite part about cocktails. It's not one dimensional from start to finish. From the time it starts to dilute a little bit more, it's going to change again.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's what's really fun about this.
So Jade, I have a question that if you want to throw something at me for asking, I will. But if I don't ask, I'll get yelled at. I got to bring it up. Let's say someone like a home cocktail maker was going to make this.
Mm-hmm.
Can you substitute almond milk? Could they do something a little bit different to maybe they don't have all the same ingredients? How could they simplify this for themselves?
You can buy orgeat. You can buy it. Some package stores, I'm sure, have like a Luxardo brand or something like that.
That'd probably be the only one I would recommend.
Yeah, that's exactly. But that can, you don't get to really determine how sweet it is. That's already done for you.
Yeah.
And making orgeat truly is not that scary.
Yeah.
And you don't have to necessarily use almonds. You can use walnuts. You can use any type of nut.
Pistachio is expensive, but so flavorful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love pistachio.
Water, sugar, and salt. And put it in a blender. I think, you know, it's safe to say a lot of people have blenders in their home. And you've got something really great that if you store in the fridge can have, you know, a pretty decent shelf life.
Yeah.
You can add it into your coffees.
Yeah.
You can, you know, elevate it like in a mocktail, as we'll probably discuss later. I would suggest don't be afraid and just go for it. Make your own orgeat.
Well, that's a great transition because I want to talk about that for a few minutes, about how to get into like a mocktail sort of thing with a drink like this. I feel like it's not too far off to turn it something to go without alcohol.
Yeah, no, I think you would probably want to add a little bit more acidity to it, because the spirit is sort of lending that blending factor to kind of strip away the sugariness of it.
Maybe add pickle juice.
Yeah, you can use like a vinegar or something as well, and pickle juice because of the dill and the aquavit. But it's nice when you have a couple of non-alcoholic components, and it doesn't take much to get you to something more fun than, you know, soda water with lemon or something.
Justin, where do you think is a great place to start with a mocktail? Like, for instance, maybe you don't want to have a cocktail, everybody else is, you want something a little, but you still want to feel like you have something special to drink. What's a good starting place?
Yeah, the concept of the mocktail is the same as a cocktail. Still has to have balance, you still want something fun. But the thing with I think a mocktail for me is always something different, right? So like, you can get a juice, you can get a soda, but you always want something different. So for me, it's kind of an outside flavor that you're not going to get on a soda gun. So like a tea, you know, just something with a different flavor, then you can take those normal juices, fruit juices, or, you know, textures and add them together and make something fun. So it has to be like a curveball, I think. So as long as you can find that curveball, you can really build around it.
Yeah.
So like, we have a yerba mate mojito with a splash of pineapple, but the yerba mate has got the bitter, you know, tea flavor to it, brightens it up with the pineapple, some mint, some lime juice, just a nice refreshing cocktail, and it looks like fun cocktail.
Yeah,
but it's a mocktail. So,
and Tim, what do you think? Just tips for a mocktail, something maybe you want to just get started with.
So we look at it the same way we look at anything on our menu. If we're going to dedicate X amount of real estate on a menu to a category of a mocktail, then we're going to dive in the same way we would with any of our cocktails. So we're going to make them unique to the menu, unique flavors to the drinks themselves, and just put the same thought and care into creating a balanced finished product, like both Jade and Justin said. We're fortunate enough at Ordinary where we made a decision from the beginning where we don't have soda guns. We want everything bottled. Mm-hmm. So even the bottled sodas or rose lemonades or anything that we have, they already lend themselves as such backbones to making mocktails, which is great. Because as standalone sippers, they're just well made. So from there, we could use those as backbones to what we want to do. People will either come in to just have mocktails, or a lot of people now are alternating between mocktail to cocktail, which is super fun. And they get so excited to see that there's a presence on the menu with it. And it's a really, really fun category, and you could have just as much fun with creating that as you will.
Italian sodas.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So we just brought in a bunch of them.
Like Stoppy and
Blood Orange and lots of unique flavors. There's also some companies that are coming out. I haven't found the value in my own head around getting non-alcoholic spirits, but a friend of mine out of Oregon has a non-alcoholic Fernet, which drinks really, really well. But I have a hard time with it. Cost more than booze to balance it out from that price ratio. It's just a little bit different.
Yeah.
But I am opening up to trying new things. For right now, we've been doing a lot with shrubs and orgeats and teas, like Justin said, is a great lender to cocktails or non-alcoholic cocktails. So we just look at it in the same way.
Well, friends, we're going to take one more short break, but when we come back, Justin Morales is going to shake his cocktail on air for us, and we'll squeeze in a few calls and grab some tips in for all of our home cocktail makers out there. I'm Chef Plum. You listen to Seasoned on Connecticut Public Radio. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the new investigative reporting podcast, In Absentia, which means you're interested in getting to the facts and uncovering the truth. If you'd like to help us continue our investigative work, consider making a donation. Visit ctpublic.org/tapsupport and contribute today. That's ctpublic.org/tapsupport. Thank you for being a part of the Accountability Project.
Join Connecticut Public and Fairfield County's Community Foundation for the In-Community Speaker Series, May 2nd, featuring New York Times Magazine journalist Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of the 1619 Project. Jones will talk about her work covering racial injustice and the legacy of slavery on our culture, our politics, and our institutions. The event starts at 6:30 p.m. at District Music Hall in Norwalk. Tickets at ctpublic.org/speakerseries.
Welcome back to Seasoned. I'm Chef Plum. My guest this hour, are the best cocktail makers in the state. You'll find Tim Cabral at Ordinary in New Haven and Bar Pina in Hartford. Jade Ayala is the bar manager and beverage director at both Oyster Club and the Port of Call in Mystic, Connecticut. And Justin Morales is the founder of Up and Down Rockin' Bourbon, and he's running the new drink show at Fire by Forge in Hartford. Can't wait to get over there and check that out. Very excited about it. Friends, call in with a question or shout out your favorite rooftop bar or tell us what your favorite cocktail is for the summer. Give us a call. The number is 888-720-9677 or 888-720-WNPR. Let us know what you're drinking. Let us know what you're into this summer. We're excited to hear about it. Justin.
Yes, sir.
I got to ask you, because you're about to make us a fun cocktail. So I'm going to start with you, because then we can get everything ready for the cocktail afterwards. I think of myself as an amateur cocktail maker. I love making a great cocktail.
I do as well.
But sometimes,
me as one.
But it's almost like I feel like, do I need to worry about it? Because I'll try to fix things at my house and not have the right tools. So as an amateur cocktail maker at my house, is there something you would recommend or certain tools you recommend that every good barman or barwoman should have?
Well, I can tell you right now for sure that good tools make a huge difference. It's like buying like a cheap, $12 tool kit somewhere, and then like buying, people that are tradesmen have buy really good tools.
Right.
Like there's such a difference between a good hammer and a bad hammer.
Okay.
Right. So one of the things that I've found out is that when you buy a bar spoon that's like a weighted bar spoon, or you find one at a dive bar that has the little red thing on it, like I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, what are those
things? But it's like, I don't know. But there's such a difference, like when you add weight to it, when it's balanced, when it's proper. And
it doesn't hurt as much.
It doesn't hurt as much.
Yeah.
But it honestly matters. It does. It only matters, though, as a profession. Like if you're at home and you're just having fun, does it matter? It's really up to you. But I think if you want to take it seriously, your tools, not only getting your tools, but learning how to use your tools, really do matter 100%.
All right.
I would say the most important thing would be
something to
measure, a jigger.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Cocktails are recipes the same you would do with cooking at home. If you want it to be balanced, if you want to be able to make it again for friends because you had a good one, just look at it like a recipe and measure it.
My grocery store sells jiggers too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're not hard to find. Jade, any tool tips? One thing you think everybody should have?
One thing I think everyone should have, honestly, is a shaker.
Okay. A good cocktail shaker.
It seems silly to say, but I know that a lot of people build their drinks in their glass. So if you have a jigger and you're measuring it and stuff, but to able to get your drink like proper dilution, you're going to need all of the bits to get you there.
Right.
I think with the three things that we all just said, a bar spoon, a shaker, and a jigger, you could make
everything. Pretty much everything, right?
Yeah. Let's open the bar. You could stir it in the shaker if you want to. Yeah,
totally.
That's it.
I think that covers it.
Justin, what's the drink you want to share with us today?
So I'm probably the blue collar guy at this table. Like I'm
just because you're
simple.
Wearing a blue collar doesn't mean
no. I'm literally the blue collar. That's my point.
Tim is right. You look like $1 million.
Yeah. No, I walk around with a blue collar, so I can say that.
That's fair.
I'm keeping it simple for viewers at home that don't have the knowledge that these guys have, because I don't, and like I'm swimming in the deep end, so I can admit that now.
He's
but I
so
can tell
you, if I was totally allowed to swear, I would say all kinds of things right now.
I knew you couldn't.
Yeah, so, and I don't appreciate that.
Yeah, I have a beep on my phone. Let me press it so we can black it out.
There we go.
So what I'm going to do is called a secretariat, and I had some fun summer cocktails, but I wanted to use one, obviously, with the rockin' bourbon. So the great thing about this is the flavor is already built into this. You know, you have honey, you have bitter, you have the earthiness of the fig and birch. So there's a lot of flavors. It's almost kind of like a built-in cocktail already.
Okay.
What we're going to do is just bring out some other flavors to that. So it's called the Secretariat. It's essentially kind of like a very like simple version riff off of a mint julep. We're going to do some fresh mint. We're going to do some fresh lemon. A Hosmer Mountain Ginger Ale, which Hosmer is a local soda.
Amazing.
It's really potent. The ginger flavor comes through. It's not too sharp, but it balances out everything else. That's what I'm going
to
make for you guys.
I'm excited to see this, because a lot of times I think of bourbon as being too heavy or too rich for like a summertime drink, or, because you want to savor it. You want to have it, neat, nothing else in it. But a bourbon cocktail, I think I'm in.
Yeah, so bourbon is good all year round. And the cool thing about bourbon, and I'll say this with all the spirits, even like the Aquavit that Jade made, is people say they don't like certain spirits, and I know I can tell you, like right off the bat, by serving people at the bar, people are like, "Oh, I don't like bourbon, or I don't like brown spirits."
Yeah,
I think what it is they haven't had it properly, right?
Okay.
They haven't had it in
That's
the right context.
Yeah,
it's like introducing somebody to something. Like on its own, personally, I don't do aquavit, but the cocktail that she made, I would never say I don't like aquavit because I like the way she makes it.
Yeah.
So it's great. So I think you with the bourbon, don't be afraid of it. Maybe don't drink it neat if you're not into it, but don't be afraid of a cocktail if you're at the right place that makes cocktails, when you trust the bartender that they're going to make you something really good.
I'm a massive bourbon fan. I think bourbon is delicious year-round, to be honest with you. But sometimes in the summer, I'm like, is it too heavy? I don't know. But this sounds great. I think when you start adding the ginger ale to it, it kind of feels like it lifts it up. Almost like a fun take on a bourbon and ginger. Is that a weird thing to say?
No, not at all. I mean, bourbon plays so nice in the sandbox with so many flavors. It has its kind of like repertoire. For me, it's like peach, honey.
Yeah.
Like it has a family of flavors that it lives with. And, you know, it just gels so nice with so many different flavors that ginger is one of them for me. It's like okay. A go-to mm-hmm. for sure.
Bourbon as a category too has so many in order to be bourbon, it has to be at least 51% of corn. From there, you could have different amounts of corns or rye or malted barley, whatever have you. So they're going to have different weights to them. They're going to have, some are going to be lighter than others. Some are going to be higher in alcohol. They're going to be super punchy. So they lend really well to cocktails all year round.
Tim, I want to point out, as you're helping us and learning so much about that, Justin just put the mint in his hand and you clap it in your hand like that to kind of release some of those natural oils, right?
It's two things. One, you warm it up just a little bit to get the juices flowing and it kind of opens up. And so when you'll get the flavor and the smell. So I do it in the glass and then I also do it on top. So when I first started bartending a very, 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 very long time ago, you know, you were taught to like muddle and kill and rip up the leaves.
Bruise it.
I had no concept of what I was doing. I just knew the smash, smash, smash. And then I realized I wasn't doing the cocktail any favor and I'm just taking up a long time on service bar. So
that's great.
You know, once I figured out, open that oil up a little bit and just kind of get the scent, because your nose is also part of your flavor process. It changed the game, and now I love making cocktails.
That's amazing. While you finish making that, just to get a word in, Firebox in Hartford has been reimagined as Fire by Forge and is slowly starting to kind of ramp up. What do you want to make sure people know about the new place?
The mission, really. I mean, honestly, what we're trying to accomplish, it's a different aspect for me in my career. Been in the business a long time, and it's changing the game and how we treat humans. And what our mission is to really bring people along, the mentorship into people that, you know, I didn't have direction in my life and the restaurant business gave that to me. And if I can have any ounce of knowledge to give that back, then I'm blessed. So that's kind of what we're trying to do, is change the game there.
Love that. And so he's finishing this up. Jade, I want to ask you, let's talk about shaking versus stirring. Mm-hmm. What actually is happening to the cocktail? What's the difference in the two?
Well, the general rule is if your cocktail is spirit-based and solely spirit-based, you're stirring your cocktail. Anything with like a juicer, a different addition to outside of a spirit, you're shaking.
Okay.
You're shaking because you're binding those flavors together. The reaction of like the citrus mixing with the spirit compound together and blending those and infusing those all together and dilution. And then the same thing for stirring, you're creating a dilution, a chill, and a mouthfeel on a drink, and to keep the integrity of the spirit.
So it makes a big difference.
Yeah, it does make it. It makes a huge difference.
I think a fun thing for everybody to try is make the same drink two ways, and then they're going to be a world of difference. Yeah.
All right. So Justin's getting this all set for us. This looks amazing. I see four cocktails over there.
Two are getting fancy.
That's okay. You don't have to be that fancy with us. We love it.
Thank you. Justin, I learned how to bartend at Firebox. That was my first bartending gig, before I went over to Oyster Club.
That's so awesome.
Let's talk about this.
You worked with Dan.
I didn't. He was before me.
Let's talk about the color of this drink. It looks almost like a lemonade kind of color, maybe. And there's a...
Cheers.
Here we go. Yeah, here we go. Cheers. We have a dehydrated lemon and some mint in here. On the nose, that mint comes through. The bourbon smells amazing. Mm. Let me get in here. Oh, this is a problem. Yep, this drink's going to be a problem. That's a little too easy.
A porch pounder. Porch pounder, for sure. 100%.
Porch pounder, yeah.
I would call this, I love beers, and so I categorize beers as, you know, a great beer you can drink all day long and have fun with. It's a good fishing beer. This is a great fishing drink. Mm-hmm. This is a great drink. This is delicious.
I think this is going to be sneaky, though. Like, if you're out fishing for a while, it's going to be problematic for you. It's
what
delicious.
Happens when you go see, when you're a fisherman and you're hammered, you come home and say, I saw a UFO, so be careful.
That's what it is. Tim, let's start with you. What are you tasting here on this cocktail?
It's super clean. You get the different notes right away from the up and down, and then the ginger ale itself has a really pungent flavor, which is fantastic. I haven't had that brand before. And I'd like to taste a little bit afterwards by itself, but you definitely get, I get the fig straight away from the up and down. It has like that pretty like rock candy note to it that always comes from Rock and Rye, Rock and Bourbons now, which I think shows really well in what Justin's doing. And it comes through super clean, totally porch pounding.
Yeah, this is a great, this is a fantastic cocktail. Jay, what are you getting from it?
Same. I think that this is an amazing cocktail to end on out of the three. Like, this here is just refreshing, palate cleansing.
For sure.
You get the subtlety of, you know, the mint as an aromatic, and in there that kind of gives that herbaceousness that makes it like super fresh. And then your bourbon is, I have not had your bourbon, sadly, yet to,
well, you're the right place.
And it's a great cocktail bourbon.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This is delicious. It's clean, it's refreshing. It is definitely a great drink to sit on the porch or and hang out with. I love this one. I think you've hit all the notes here. That ginger beer really comes, or ginger ale really
ginger
comes
ale, through. Yeah. Ginger beer for me is way too potent.
Too much of a bite.
And it like hides a lot of stuff. So ginger ale is softer, still has some sweetness. But this one specifically, like Tim said, it's a little more mild, but the ginger comes through more than anything else. So for me, it was like
fresh ginger.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So I think the great thing about Justin's too is it's three ingredients. You can make it at home right now.
Yeah,
the other two from Jade and I, you'd probably have to come see us to like get it to be the where it was, because the amount of work and money you would have to spend. Justin's, you could pick up his up and down and a couple a lemon and a ginger ale and some mint, and you're on your way to something that's delicious, which I think is really cool.
Well, we've got a couple minutes left. I just want to get tips before we get out of here for everybody listening at home. Let's talk really quick. Each of you tell us a place you like to go to in the summer to have a great summer cocktail that's not your own place. Tim, can you go first?
I mean, Mystic is such a great destination, and I'm not even saying it because Jade's here. Like, it's like a short trip to go somewhere really dope with a lot of people doing great things. And Jade and her crew definitely, in my opinion, springboarded Mystic into a destination for food and drink. So that would be mine. And not even because she's here and I feel a little weird saying it, but it's totally true.
Yeah. Justin, what do you think?
So I'm gonna jump on Tim's back here and say the same thing-ish. And not because they're here, but I can tell you Mystic, yes, for sure. And if there's a crown jewel from what I know of Mystic, it's Port au Call for sure.
Amazing.
I mean, that's what people talk about all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But not even like summertime, but just cocktail. If you're a cocktail enthusiast, obviously Ordinary is the place to go. I mean, it's, you know, you just walk in and it feels like, okay, I have to have a dope cocktail.
Got
to
check it out. Jay?
And they deliver.
Yeah, and I don't want this to be like a love fest, but it's okay. But same for you, Tim. Like, honestly, when I first started, like, you were the name of the game. OG, like you
old?
Started it. Yeah, original gangsta.
Oh, not old gangsta.
Yeah,
OG.
Yeah, original.
Oh, God.
From there. So, but I say if you're traveling from New Haven into Mystic, get your way into Rhode Island, too. Matunic is kind of fun to have a drink.
Yeah, got
to
check them out for sure. I want to thank my panel of all-stars, Tim Cabral from Ordinary in New Haven and Bar Pina in Hartford. Later this summer, look for Tim at Joya in Worcester Square. Jade Ayala, both Oyster Club and the Port au Call in Mystic. And Justin Morales of Fire by Forge in Hartford. Chef Ben DeBow and the team are changing lives over there. The food is delicious, too. Thank you guys all for being here.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You guys are amazing. I can't wait. I got new friends now. I'm Chef Plum. Season is produced by Robin Doyen-Aiken, Katie Talarski, Meg Dalton, Stephanie Stender, Tegan Engel, Catrice Claudio, Sabrina Herrera, and Meg Fitzgerald are on our team, too. Go to ctpublic.org/recipes to see all kinds of cocktails from recent cookbooks that our producers poured over. There's a blueberry lemonade margarita, a blackberry fojito, Moscow Mule popsicles, drinks and cocktail pouches from Trap Kitchen Street Cocktail Book. Lots of fun. You got to try his recipes, or maybe just party or one night in, whatever you want. And coming up next week, season's episode with a local cookbook author, Terry Walters and Kevin Massey from Small State Provisions, airs on Thursday. Small State's one of our favorite bakeries, so don't miss it. See you next week, everyone. Thanks for listening.